Belinda and Penguin Random House Australia present this unabridged recording of Cal, written by Judy Nunn and read by Bruce Venables. Video e mare quante bello, spira tanto sentimento, come tua c'è di mente, caschettato fai suonar. A light snowfall started to blanket the earth as the men's voices rang out across the mountainside. The men ignored the snow as they squatted around the open fire, clutching their mugs of red wine, their coat collars raised, their woolen caps pulled down over their ears.
Guarda qua, cistu giardino, sientesi sicura ranse.
Giovanni's voice was raised above the others. Although the youngest worker at the camp, he was the only one who could play the concertina, and he always led the evening song. Besides, he had by far the finest voice. At least that's what Rico thought as he glanced fondly at his younger brother as they sang the haunting Torna Surriento. Several of the dozen or so men sang well, and all were of robust voice. But Giovanni, with his fine natural tenor, was a joy to the ear. Half an hour later, the men acknowledged defeat. The snowfall had all but extinguished the fire, and with mugs freshly refilled, they retreated to their tents. But from Giovanni and Rico's tent, the concertina played on.
Video mare quante bello.
Gradually the men joined in, and from tent to tent, their voices once more rang out until the wine was finished and it was time to sleep. The following morning it was Rico who first saw the four figures trudging up the mountain track, their bulky wool-clad bodies black against the snow. They looked tiny in the distance, four dark dots. But then everything looked tiny in the Alps. Even the fir trees, 30-40 feet high and shaggy with snow, were dwarfed by the landscape. And in the summer months, free of their white disguise, the massive grey boulders, some of which were as large as the village church, looked like pebbles on the side of the mountain. But amongst the magnitude of nature's architecture, it was the village itself that looked tiniest of all. Nestled in the valley far below, and built of rock quarried from the very mountains which dwarfed it, the village looked defiant. Its church bell rang importantly on Sundays, its stone chimney pots puffed busy smoke into the alpine air, and its people lived their lives ignoring nature's surrounding statement that human existence might not be of vast importance in the ultimate scheme of things. Against the backdrop of the mountain splendour, the village and its people were a testament to the wonderful audacity of man. That it was Rico who first saw the girls was no accident. He'd been watching for Teresa since the dawn light first cut the icy air. While the men scraped clear the small stone fireplace and fetched dry wood from their tents to boil their mugs of thick black coffee, Rico stood stamping his heavy work boots in the snow, his black eyes searching the track to the village for the first sign of the girls.